First of all, okay, it's a new day, and we are focused on a few things. First of all, like I said yesterday, again, grateful that we were able to get the verbal declaration, the verbal side of the major declaration that we were able to get. We said this is a story of addition, and so we were able to add three counties to the eight that were already talked about. So now Berkeley County, Sumter County, and Clarendon County have been added to the list, which is all good news for us. Today we do have FEMA assessors on the ground, and they will be looking at Newberry County, Florence County, and Darlington. So again, those of you that are concerned that you've got damage, this is a story of addition. So we are going to continue as we can get FEMA assessors on the ground. They're moving very quickly. They've been very resourceful in terms of that. So we're going to continue to add as we see the damages there. We are very grateful to the FEMA team, who has been not only our partners in this, but they have the same energy of working expeditiously, working as partners, and doing as much as we can for the people as fast as we can. And so before I give any more updates, I would like to give Craig Fugate, who is the FEMA administrator, who got on the ground this morning, to go ahead and give an update and talk about what they're going to be doing as they go forward.
Well, thank you, Governor. Again, for those officials that are saying, hey, what about our counties? We're adding as quickly as we can, but we wanted to go with the information we had to get the governor's request acted on. But anybody that's suffering impacts in the state of South Carolina from the floods, homeowners, we just encourage you to go ahead and register. And this is something you can help us with, is get people to call us at 1-800-621-FEMA and register. You can go online to disasterassistance.gov, either with your phone, mobile device, or however you can get to us, and we're going to come to you. So right now, as the governor's team has briefed her today, and as I was able to sit in on, this is still very much a response. Our job is to support the governor's team and her priorities. We are working to support those individuals that have been impacted, and we're going to be here for a long time. We're not going anywhere quick, but our job is direction of the president, support Governor Haley's response, her team. So when you see FEMA here, we're not here in charge of anything. We're here supporting the governor.
And thank you, Craig. And what I'll tell you is what I've appreciated so much is they are taking that action, that they're not waiting for people to come to them. They're actually going to be on the ground this afternoon in shelters, because we know those are the first people that have been displaced. So they're going to be talking to them, making sure they get that information. So we are very much in action mode. So while we are dealing with the response of this event that we are in, FEMA is already starting to work on their part of it, and so we are very, very grateful for that. So today we are very much in the next 24 hours going to be focused on certain places. You are going to see localized evacuations possible today in the counties of Colleton, Dorchester, Horry, Charleston, Georgetown, Berkeley, and Williamsburg. Please be on guard. Please be ready that you may see voluntary, mandatory evacuations. The water is flowing, and as it is flowing, we are watching. And so please, for those people in those areas, it will be specific areas. We are specifically looking at, this isn't exclusive, but specifically looking at the areas of Conway, Andrews, the area around Givens Ferry, Jamestown, and Georgetown. And, of course, King Street, we already went through the evacuation, and that has been handled accordingly. Two areas of concern, immediate concern, that we have been working on throughout last night and all day yesterday going into today, is the Columbia Canal. Is one of them. Operations are ongoing. It's really a big operation to help get the Columbia City Water back on target. They have already placed 401-ton sandbags in place, working to get to 751-ton sandbags, so we will continue to work on that throughout the day. The rock dam that has been put in place is very, very helpful, and I think you are seeing that that is continuing to get the water back in process, but we will continue to monitor that as we go forward. The Beaver Dam, stabilized at the moment. everybody working on that all night long. We will continue to monitor that. That is still a moving situation, so we will monitor and get you that information as we have it. But we, again, safety is a priority. I specifically want to thank SCE&G. You know, their focus wasn't just on outages and getting their customers back up. They sent over equipment. They were extremely helpful to send that equipment over to Beaver Dam. They continue to be helpful in other areas. We're working on other dams, and they have basically given us their resources to work on. So I want to thank them for that, because they didn't have to do it, but they've been, once again, a great partner to South Carolina. Lake Murray gates are all closed. That's good news. There's no more release off of Lake Murray that we need to be concerned about. Of the thousands of dams across the state in South Carolina, 62 we are monitoring currently right now, 13 that have already failed. So we will continue to monitor those as we go forward. Our fatality number, I'm sorry, has moved up from the report I gave you yesterday. We are now at 15 in terms of fatalities. I want to just say this. Yesterday, I made it very clear that while the sun is out, this event is not over. And so we have asked for everyone to not move barricades, not move barriers, not drive around them. Let me give you an example. We have a situation now where five people moved around a barrier. We were able to save three of them. Two are missing. Please don't do this. Please don't try and do that. I know the sun is out, but this is a situation where if that road is closed, it's closed because we're trying to protect you. It's closed because we're trying to do this for safety. So please don't make us, for that reason, have to come back here and tell you that the fatality numbers have gone up, because that's something that we all have to work on together and understand. We want life to be convenient for you, but our number one goal is to make sure that we're protecting you, and so we need some self-responsibility when it comes to that in order to go forward. We have 409 closures right now, road and bridge closures. 141 of those are bridges. You will see that number go up. And the reason is, as the water is flowing downstream, we're going to continue to have to close more roads. We're going to continue to have to make sure that we're safe. What we have tried to do, Secretary Hall and I have worked very well together in when in doubt, close it. So we're doing that just to make sure that the stability is strong and that we can continue to move forward. There is still a 13-mile section on 95 surrounding the Manning area that is closed. That will probably remain closed. They're going to evaluate it throughout the day. That is between mile marker 119 and 132 on I-95. So that will continue to be closed for now. The reason that we're going to continue to see more closures is we are starting to see that as the water leaves, we're having the soil shrinking. We're seeing cave-ins of roads, and we're losing shoulders. So the DOT teams are doing great to go and assess that, but that's a lot of what we're dealing with as we are moving down to the lower part of the state. Just to let you know what all hands on deck mean today, up to 2,000 DOT maintenance people on the road. That number has been consistently climbing, but they are doing that, whether that is repair work to go ahead and start at the upper part of the state, whether it's assessment crews on the situation, or whether it's pre-positioning for what's getting ready to happen down in the low country. That's what we're doing. They now are up to 31 assessment teams, which is good news. That means that they're getting into safety areas where they can actually assess the damage going forward. They have over 200 engineers, which is going to be crucial to finding out whether we can start to travel those roads. We are up to 4,926 service calls that have been made by highway patrolmen. 2,122 of those have been collisions that they are responding to. Their morale is good. Their strength is good. But they continue to try and protect as much as they can. Hundreds of law enforcement officers on the roads, whether it is public safety, whether it's SLED, whether it's DNR, whether it's Triple P, whether it's corrections donating, it truly is all hands on deck, and we're grateful for that. We have now upped the number of National Guardsmen that are working in the state. We are now at 3,000 National Guardsmen that are moving throughout the state. you will see that number increase to 5,000. We are going to add 1,000 more general purpose guardsmen, and then General Livingston's also adding 1,000 more engineers to go in and to help. This is all to keep things moving and to keep the action happening as well. DNR, who they are like the unsung heroes that continue to be great safety people that get out there and do rescues. Over 600 rescues of people and hundreds of pets have been rescued by DNR. So I am very, very proud of that team that continues to work. 23 shelters open right now. We're down to 330 occupants in those shelters. Those will probably go up in the low country as we go forward. So we're already pre-positioning and getting that ready as that needed to happen. We have, as much as we are dealing with service issues, we have been inundated with donated goods. People want to donate. They want to, whether it's their volunteer time, whether it's businesses that want to donate, people that want to donate. We now have the donate goods call center activated. That number is 1-888-585-9643. 888-585-9643. So if you want to volunteer or if you have, if you're a business and you want to give water or any other resources that South Carolina will need, that's the number you can call and they'll tell you how to go about doing that. Thank you to the Trucking Association, who has offered to help move things. Thank you to the Advertising Association, who's offered to help us with billboards in terms of safety to make sure that we can get the road messages out to get people to stop going through the barriers. There are a lot of people who are helping, and we are grateful for that. So things are getting better in the Midlands. Things are about to get worse on the coast. And so we are going to continue to watch as the waters are moving. We have been through this entire process pre-positioning 48 hours in advance, so we are constantly 48 hours ahead of what's going to happen. We have done that, so a lot of that positioning of groundsmen and crew workers and first responders are already there, ready. It's not over yet. That's what we have to remember, is this is not over yet, but we need to continue our prayers. We need to continue to be responsible and diligent as we move forward, and we need to continue to remember that it is all hands on deck. But that is where we stand today, another full day of work for all of us, another full day of first responders working, but the morale is good of everybody that is working very hard, and the passion is strong. You can push South Carolina, but boy, does South Carolina push back. And so I am incredibly proud of that, and we will continue to let you know as things happen. But with that, I will tell you, you see all my team behind me, so if you have any questions for me or any of them, we'll take your questions now.
How many missing people are there right now?
I don't know that number. I know in that one specific instance there were two, just because we know of that particular situation. But the law enforcement has done a good job. They're going through areas, and every time, you might see the X's on properties. That means that area has been checked and all is good. And so they're going through, and the assessment teams are all over. So that's not just assessment for damage. That's assessment for safety. That's assessment for anything else that's needed. So they'll continue to do that.
For Director Heigl about the dam inspections and certifications, we were working on a story before this, if you can come to the microphone, and found that in the Midlands and Lowcountry, 72% of the dams had no emergency action plan for who to notify in case there was a problem, that kind of thing. And we wanted to get a database from CHEC about the dams, but it's in files, it's not on a computer database, so I know you're new to the department, but how did we get to this point where we don't have a database, and 72% of the dams don't have an emergency action plan?
We've done an outstanding job of responding to this particular emergency. We do know what dams we regulate, and we will continue to work to fulfill those requests for that information. I will take this opportunity to say that modernization of our infrastructure, our IT infrastructure in particular, is something that is a number one priority for me, and that will better enable us to give data to you when you ask for it.
But what about the dams themselves, as far as the structure of them, the ability to withstand things like this? Granted, it's a 1,000-year flood, but
right,
still, there are problems even before this.
I'm not going to necessarily accept that particular assumption that you've just laid out there. What I will say is, just as you've noted, this is a flood of proportions that we have never seen. And many of these structures are earthen dams. And so they have, you know, we regulate approximately 2,500 of these dams. And so we unfortunately have had 13 that fail. We've got one that's that we're working to stabilize. And so one dam failure is too many. But in a situation like this, we are extremely grateful for where we are today and the response and the coordination with the people that are here to, most importantly, protect the public.
And just let me add to that is, you know, I know that Director Heigl, you know, has wanted to improve the IT structure. But let's look at the facts. The facts are that we have thousands of dams that have multiple owners, right? And so our goal, you've got a 1,000-year flood, and out of thousands of dams, right now we're watching 62 of them, 13 have failed. Look at the proportion of that. And even of the ones they're working on, when you have floods of this magnitude, it is really amazing that we have not had more issues than we've had. Having said that, let us get through this. Let us continue to work. We can always modernize more. I will never say we've modernized enough. I want you to be able to have every list you want whenever you want it. But in terms of the situation and the safety and the way they've held up, this has actually been something that has given us a little bit more faith in the fact that this is going, you know, I'm so grateful that the Lake Murray Dam, that was the restructuring of that and making sure that that was up multiple years ago has proven to be a great thing.
Governor.
Go ahead, you had a question.
Some of the failure, even 13 of these pond dams, have led some experts to say it illustrates that the state program is underfunded and understaffed. Sounds like you disagree with that.
No, I'm not disagreeing with anything. What I'm trying to do is get South Carolina through this event. And so you can ask all of these questions after mm-hmm. this event, but right now my focus is on the 62 we're watching, on the people being safe, and that's our focus. And we will open it up to any other questions you have after this, but please do let me get through this time that we're trying to get through.
Governor David Begner with the CBS EV News. You can understand as people are watching this and hearing more about dams, they're wondering how much goes into securing the safety, despite the fact that you're in a response mode. So my question is, one of your local newspapers is calling the dam safety program flawed. Would you take exception with that?
You know, I think there's going to be a lot of people that have a lot of opinions. What I will tell you is this is a 1,000-year flood, and we have thousands of dams in this state. And 62 we are watching, and 13 of those thousands have failed. So I think the analysis of this can be done after, but what we're doing right now is, for example, of the 62, we had one yesterday, they're filling it with rocks, they're filling it with sandbags, they're doing all that they need to watch for that water as it goes forward. There's plenty of time for people to analyze this after. What I will tell you right now is our focus is can't is not an option, being as creative as we can. If you could have seen over the all night the number of people that were there and the engineers and the extra, the guardsmen, the law enforcement, the county, everybody just doing what they needed to and still watching it in real time has been unbelievably impressive to see the teamwork. So that's really the focus. And you know, there'll be a lot of things we can go back after this and say, okay, where do we go from here? But right now, let's not lose sight of the fact that we're still dealing with an issue on the coast. We're still dealing with this week, and then we'll go through that.
Despite the sunshine, it's very clear that you're obviously in response mode and you're still active. For the people of your state who are watching, how much longer is this threat going to remain? Are you talking through the weekend and into next week?
So I think that it depends on if you look at it in phases. So first of all, immediate need in the next 24 to 48 hours, we're holding our breath and we're saying a prayer. And that is just to get the people through the coast. The people in the upstate, you know, we know where they stand. This is now in assessment mode and recovery mode. The people in the low country, this is still very much response mode, making sure that we keep them safe and evacuate appropriately. And then I think you are going to see some time of assessment. FEMA has been fantastic, as well as DOT and the counties working together. It's now assessing how much damage is there, and so we've started at the upstate, and as it gets safer, we'll move down into the low country. This, you know, from the beginning, I said this is going to hurt, and from the beginning, I said that this was not going to be a process that was going to be fixed overnight. But what I do know is we are a strong state. This is a state that's going to get through it. We have a recovery mode that we're going to have to go through, but I have no doubt in my mind that South Carolina will come out of this stronger than when we started.
Governor, on drinking water, there's been a conservation effort requested from the Columbia area. Can you tell people when they might expect how long to be drinking bottled water, in your estimate of the repair along the canal?
Okay, so when you look at the Columbia Canal situation, that is directly related to us trying to fix the city of Columbia water situation. So if you are in one of those areas that's under a boiled watery advisory, please listen to that. This is contaminated water. Don't drink it. Be very careful about how you do that. And boiling water, it takes a little while, but boy, it'll be better when you don't get sick. So make sure that you do that. I think that the Columbia Canal situation is better today than it was yesterday, which is how we're measuring things. The way they have gone in and put in those one-ton sandbags at 400 to get it to 750, but the rocks that they were able to put on there really were able to clear that process. I'm asking General Livingston if he has anything he wants to add to that Columbia Canal situation.
Yes, ma'am. We're making progress. We've been able to raise the water level of the canal to keep the Columbia plant working, and we are starting to work on the primary breach right now. It's going to be a very, very difficult operation, and we're just taking it a minute at a time on that main breach, a very large volume of water coming through it right now.
How long do you think that will take, that operation?
I think we'll know something in the next 48 hours as far as how well that breach ceiling is going.
And on any kind of water illness, waterborne illnesses or anything of this sort, what kind of contingencies might you have? Are there people ready and waiting in hospitals? Should people... diarrhea, things that could be afflictions?
Yes, absolutely. So as the public health agency, we have been communicating with counties, certainly with the South Carolina Hospital Association and with their membership about what to look for, in particular enteric disease and those types of symptoms that you alluded to. And that is why we continue to press for. I think we have currently about 18 different boil water advisories out statewide, and so I appreciate this question because this is another opportunity to reinforce to people what the governor has said, which is heed those advisories, boil the water, keep yourself healthy, and keep yourself safe.
What other areas beyond Columbia? Is Columbia the largest boil water advisory that you know of population-wise, or Charleston?
Yeah, but population-wise, Columbia would be the largest of those areas, yes.
Governor Haley, this is something that's going to affect the citizens of South Carolina for a while. It's also something they're going to remember for years and years to come. As this fades from national headlines, do you expect the people around the nation to remember it as we do?
So, you know, I think the people around the nation we've seen time and time again, they continue to feel our pain. And I'm grateful for that because the prayers and the blessings and everything, whether it's resources, the amount of things that are coming from out of state and in state in terms of people wanting to help or come and cook and do whatever has been really great. You know, when you deal with something like this, that's a 1,000-year flood, you deal with a situation that you hope never happens to any other state. What I will tell you is, again, I continue to be so proud that we are not dealing with situations of burglaries and looting. I asked all my law enforcement today, has there been any incident whatsoever of looting? None. None. What there have been incidences of are neighbors going to strange neighborhoods that they don't know and cooking for them. The amount of food that Harvest Hope Food Bank has delivered to communities, the amount of work that the Red Cross has done in doing the shelters, but more of the neighbors helping neighbors and people helping strangers continues to be a love story of South Carolina that I hope every state in the country looks at and understands that this is really special. I mean, we are people of faith, we are people of strength, but we are a people of compassion. And when we go through things like this, you know, these weather events, they may try and knock us down, but all they do is bring our people closer. And I think that's the story that everybody will take from this.
Do you anticipate, however, that curfews may still be necessary in certain cities?
So I think we had a couple of curfews last night. I think that what we are doing is being diligent. So on the coast in particular, you know, I know we've got more SLED officers. We're going to have more DNR officers. We're going to have more National Guardsmen out there just to make sure that people are not going into areas that they shouldn't go to. But again, I have a great respect for the people of South Carolina and the way they respect other people's property and they respect each other, and I think we'll continue to see that.
Governor, last night we profiled a family who took shelter in their attic after calling for help, and for 2 hours they called in 911, said, "We're trying, we're coming, we got it." And they ended up being rescued by their neighbors, mm-hmm. and they were in the attic, and they had about 3 inches of space before the water came in. Is there a story, I wonder, that you've been told that you can't get out of your mind of someone who nearly made it out thinking they were going to die?
So, I can't think of those stories right now because our focus has to be on, are we doing all we can as fast as we can? And I don't know of the story you were referring to. What I will tell you is I continue to see stories of neighbors helping neighbors, where one kid who refuses to go on camera went and took his boat and got his neighbors out and moved them over. You know, those are the stories I look at, are the ones where people do things that they just didn't have to do. You know, the stories of, I saw a group from North Augusta that came over to Columbia, just put up a tent and started cooking for people and taking it down on the streets as people were trying to just salvage what they could find. Those are the stories that I have really focused on, are the stories of the fact that, yes, we've got a team, but we've got an army of South Carolinians that are out there just trying to do anything and everything they can to help their neighbors. That's the one thing that keeps, I think, all of us going at the end of the day, is that the people have our back. And when you know the people have your back, it just keeps you pushing that much harder.
Governor, yesterday you talked about King Street as being isolated and cut off. Can you give an update about that? And are there any other areas still like that that you think are sort of pockets of desperation that remain?
So the good thing about King Street was it was evacuated before, like it was supposed to, and everybody heeded that and they did that. Does anybody want to give an up? Do you want to give an update on King Street in terms of where we are?
Yeah, Kim Snitson, State EMD. Just like the governor said, they did the evacuation. Everybody's out of there. They've still got swift water rescue teams for any isolated pockets that's along there, but that's a good story. The system worked.
Yeah, and we continue to have teams there. They went back, DNR went back yesterday just to make sure to touch base with King Street, and they didn't find anybody. There was nobody left to be rescued. But they, you know, like went back to Clarendon, and I think they were able to get 20 other people out there. So we keep going back and checking. Just when we do it, we don't stop. We go back and check just a couple more times to make sure that everything's okay in that area. King Street seems to be good at this point.
Governor, and this may be more properly addressed, Mr. Stevens.
Of course.
How long will all these damage assessments take?
Well, for the when you talk about damage assessments, we're really breaking this down into the most immediate needs. So our primary focus right now is what we call the individual assistance program, and that's where we have counties that have had impacts, where we've got people who've had flood damage and other things. And again, we took what the governor had. Again, this was a verbal request. I wanted to move fast on this. Most disasters, we would have gone out with her teams and go count houses. This is of such magnitude, we did not want to delay that process. So as we had good information, we went to the president and made the recommendation to support the governor's request. And as we get additional information, that process is my federal coordinating officer, Mike Moore, will just make the recommendations and they'll be added on. So this will not take long. And we're encouraging people, even if your county is not currently declared but you've had impacts, go ahead and register. We'll do further assessments. And again, a lot of the damages to infrastructure will come, but you got to understand too, a lot of it's still underwater or hasn't even been impacted yet as this moves downstream. So we're focused right now on individuals and families who have been impacted by the floods to register with us. We'll add on counties as quickly as we have information, and we're supporting the governor primarily right now still in response mode with urban search and rescue teams and other commodities as we go through the response phase. And as we get through that, we'll work with the governor on assessing the actual damages that may need additional assistance to rebuild.
Thank you, Craig. All right, last question. So Commissioner Weathers was actually up in flight, I believe, with General Livingston a couple of days ago to look at that. And I think our DNR director was telling us that is Director Taylor here, that the shellfish industry was really taking a hit and would probably be down for about a month. So in those situations, we'll be working with the USDA on that situation. General, do you have anything to add on your flight with Commissioner Weathers? We've seen massive crop damage without question, and the boiled peanuts in particular, you know, they were just about to, be picked up, and you know, so all of that has been wiped out. So, yes, without question, South Carolina, our number one industry continues to be agriculture, despite what the tourism industry says. And so, you know, not only is tourism feeling it, agriculture is feeling it, everybody's feeling it right now. All right, thank you very much. We'll have another update tomorrow.